Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 80. This is the reading of God's Word. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word that we may hear, and our faith will grow and we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless all of us that your word will be preached correctly, that we will understand your word correctly. And not only understand, but believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. Let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we'll end chapter 1 today. John the Baptist is born to make ready the way of the Lord, and his parents name him John, according to the will of God that has been revealed to John's father, Zacharias. Then the judgment of God against Zacharias was lifted, and his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Zacharias started to prophesying. Prophesying, what is this? We are not talking about predicting the future by fortune tellers. Biblical prophesying is God's revelation through his people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Thus, what we are looking at from verse 68 through 79 is God's revelation through Zacharias. Just like the Mary's praise is called Magnificat, Zacharias' praise is called Benedictus. Just like the Magnificat, the Benedictus is named according to the first letter of the praise in Latin. Through the Benedictus, God tells us the meaning of the events of John's birth and Jesus' birth. God tells us what is really going on through these events. Again, just like the praise of Mary, the praise of Zacharias is filled with the Old Testament languages. The praise tells us what God is doing and how he is accomplishing the eternal salvation of his people, beginning with the birth of John. Through the language of the book of Exodus and the language of Jubilee, God telling us in Benedictus, the salvation that he is accomplishing through Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of his promises in the Old Testament. This is the content of the whole book of Luke. Jesus Christ is coming to fulfill God's promise in the Old Testament of the eternal salvation of God. Using the events of the past, using the languages of those events to tell us of the future. This is what the praise of Zacharias is all about. And this praise can be divided into three parts. Verses 68 through 75. It's about great salvation that God accomplished through the Messiah. Second part, verses 76 and 77. It's the mission of the John the Baptist. And third, verses 78 through 79, the mission of the Messiah. Before we begin looking at Zechariah's praise, we are reminded once again that our God is a faithful God. He keeps all of His promises. He fulfills all of His promises in and through Jesus Christ. And we must remember that all the things that Jesus Christ does and accomplishes, He does and accomplishes with the Holy Spirit who accompanies Him all the time. From Jesus' conception, all that is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplished together with the Holy Spirit. We could see this reality in Luke chapter 1. Holy Spirit is present and active everywhere. Just as the Spirit was present and active in the creation of the universe, the Holy Spirit is present and active in the new creation. Chapter 1, verse 15b, concerning John the Baptist, it says, "And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." Chapter 1, verse 35, concerning Mary, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and power of the Most High will overshadow you." Chapter 1, verse 41b, concerning Elizabeth, it says, "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Do you see then in chapter 1, do you see just like in the first creation, the Holy Spirit is hovering over in the new creation? The book of Acts, the second book that Luke has written, begins with the Holy Spirit coming to the church. Our Christian life has begun with the Holy Spirit coming to us and recreating us as a new creation. Which, with the events in Luke, as we see the coming of Jesus Christ, the redemptive history of our God is being completely fulfilled. And you need to understand through these events in Luke what is really happening. God comes and He accomplishes the new creation. And that could mean so many other things because new creation involves so many things. And we'll look at them one by one as we go through the book of Luke. Luke 1, verse 68. And let's try to understand this praise by Zacharias, verse by verse. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people. Blessed be the Lord." Why? "For He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people." God has visited us. Yes, in chapter 2, we will read about the birth of Jesus Christ. And this verse points to that event. Jesus Christ being born is nothing less than God visiting us. Luke chapter 19, verse 44 talks about the judgment of God upon Israel. And the reason for that judgment is, according to Luke chapter 19, verse 44, "Because you did not recognize the time of your God's visitation." So many Jews still do not recognize the time of God's visitation. They don't understand Jesus' birth. But you and I, we do recognize it. We know it as God's grace. Psalm 106, verse 4b, visit me with your salvation. For God has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people. Redemption equals to salvation. God saves His people. That's what birth of Jesus Christ is all about. God coming to us to save us. God saves His people. That is what the book of Luke is all about. And He does that through Jesus Christ. So obviously it's about Jesus Christ. And He does that, according to verse 69, through the Messiah. Luke chapter 1, 69 says, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. God has raised up a horn of salvation. A horn of salvation. A horn points to a power. It's a symbol of power. Thus, a horn of salvation is a powerful Savior. So God has raised up a powerful Savior, a strong Savior, Lord. Obviously, all these things point to the Messiah. Psalm 18 verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So God has raised up a horn of salvation for us, but He did that in the house of David, His servant. Psalm 132 verse 17, there I will cause the horn of David to spring forth. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. Here the word anointed means the Messiah. That's what Messiah means. Anointed. And He is of a descendant of King David. We saw this before. Luke chapter 1 verse 17, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from of old. God has spoken about the Messiah through His Old Testament prophets. So in Luke, we see the fulfillment of God's promise, the fulfillment of God's covenant. Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 5 and 6, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteous in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. Ultimately, that is pointing to Jesus Christ. Yes, according to that promise, Jesus has come, meaning God Himself has come. And from verse 71 then, God tells us in more detail His salvation through the Messiah. Verse 71, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And Luke chapter 1 verse 74 says, being rescued from the hand of our enemies. These languages, this is pretty much the same as Psalm 106, verse 10. See, Zacharias is using the Old Testament language to tell us what will happen in the future. And we will see later that the enemies here is not just the worldly enemies for Israel. Because the salvation that our Lord accomplishes is not a political salvation. What we see in our passage is then the spiritual reality expressed in the worldly terms. So our verses are speaking of the salvation of God that Jesus Christ will accomplish after His birth. Luke chapter 1, verse 72 and 73. To show mercy toward our Father and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to Abraham our father. The covenant of God in the Old Testament is now forever being fulfilled as Jesus Christ is being born. In the book of Exodus, we see the same thing. Right before God saves His people out of Egypt, God says, Exodus 2, verse 24, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, God heard their groaning, but reason for God acting in saving is He remembers His own covenant He made to Abraham. The oath which He swore to Abraham. Because God has promised God's kingdom to Abraham. He has promised them a king, a promised land, and the people as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Jesus Christ accomplishes them all. Jesus Christ is the king. And heaven is the promised land. And all who are in Jesus Christ are the people of God. The salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing was promised by God to Abraham. God has reaffirmed that to David. And through Jesus Christ, God completely accomplishes it. And the purpose of the salvation of God is Luke chapter 1 verse 74. Latter part of 74 and 75, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. Why are we saved? To serve our God in holiness and righteousness before Him. To serve is to worship. That is why worship is many times called worship service. The purpose of the Exodus was the same. God through Moses tells Pharaoh, Exodus chapter 4 verse 23, after saying that the Israel is his son, he says, let my son go that he may serve me. You let my son go so that they may worship God. That's the whole purpose of Exodus. And our purpose is the same. To worship God. And that is the purpose of God's salvation. You and me, we are saved so that we may worship God. If you see a so-called Christian who does not take worship God seriously, I suggest you go away, far away from that person. I judge Christians by their attitude towards worshiping God. And I'm not wrong in that. Christian who does not take worship God, worshiping God seriously, I don't know what that person is. Because that's not what Bible shows us how Christian is. The whole purpose of being saved is to worship God. And nothing in this world will stop me, hindering me from worshiping God. Yeah. Because this is the purpose. And I tell you, if you don't like worshiping God, then you're not going to like heaven. Think about it. You can't even endure 1 hour of worship. How are you going to endure eternity? Think again if you hate worship. Think again going to heaven because, man, you're going to hate it. But heavenly worship is not sitting in a chair and we worship like this. No, whole life in heaven is worship. But it is in terms of worship. And that's what our lives are all about. Whatever you do out there, it has to be in terms of serving God. Otherwise, then you're just wasting your time. You make money? Well, it is in terms of serving God. You study? It is in terms of serving God. Are you married and you want to live as a married couple? In terms of serving God. Otherwise, you really don't understand what your life is all about as a Christian. He saved us so that we may worship. Can you even picture if He did not save us? Then there is no worship. And until you go to heaven, you will never worship God, and even in hell, you're not going to worship God. Can you even think your life in those terms? Not worshiping? I don't care where you are, what you do out there, you know, even vacation time. What can you do out there? Or where can you go that is better than worship? We have to take worship seriously, brothers and sisters. Because that's what the Bible tells us, what our purpose is, being saved. Especially when, as a pastor, looking for the person who wants to be elder. You know what I look their attitude towards worship. If worship is not in their center, you vote no to that person when the voting for elder comes up. Because worship is not the center, then how can that person who doesn't understand the major purpose of Christian, how can he serve well as an elder? But obviously, no one's perfect. Yes, holiness and righteousness. To serve in holiness and righteousness. This is why God saved us. The holiness and righteousness, among other things, are what our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us. It is again the same as the Exodus, Exodus 19 verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. We too in Jesus Christ have become the kingdom of priests. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9a. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Might serve Him without fear, it says. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ has bore our sins and died on the cross for us, and He has lived a righteous life for us, and God has imputed His righteousness to us and called us righteous in His sight. Thus, we come to God with boldness without fear. And that's what amazing is truly amazing. I mean, if you think about all the sins you have committed Monday to Saturday, yesterday, and you are coming to God. And, you know, I don't want you to imagine things, but if God is standing here and you are coming to God with all that sin, You'll be like shaking and fear and trembling. And yet we come without fear. Why? Because Christ has already judged you in Christ. I mean, God has already judged you in Christ. There's no more judgment left for you. Because He poured out all of His wrath towards Christ, who were bearing your sins. So because He poured out all of His wrath, there's no more wrath left to pour out to you. Because of Christ, we come to God with joy. Even though I understand that I deserve eternal punishment, I still come with joy because of Christ. What He has accomplished is so that we could serve Him in righteousness and holiness. And that's what we're doing as we worship God. This is what Christ has accomplished for us. Amazing! The sinner like me is now able to serve God in righteousness and in holiness. And that is my reality. Amazing grace. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? As we come to God, not only all our sins are cleansed, even our conscience is cleansed. Absolutely no fear but joy because of Christ. Zacharias, through his praise, he tells us what the Messiah will accomplish. And that is our salvation. And he tells us how then we are in that salvation. Now in verses 76 through 77, we read about the mission of the John the Baptist. Let me read that to you. And you, child, he's now talking to his son, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give to His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. John the Baptist will be called the prophet of the Most High. Earlier, we're told that Jesus is called, in chapter 1, verse 32, the Son of the Most High. But John is a prophet. This is very important. God has told us in the Old Testament that before the coming of the Messiah, a prophet will come to ready the way of the Lord. From Malachi, for 400 years, no prophet has come. Now in John, we see the fulfillment of God's promise. John will be called the prophet of God. This is amazing because for 400 years they were waiting for that prophet who will come before the Messiah. Nobody came. But Zacharias understands God's will. He's pointing to his child and says, "You are the prophet of God who will ready the way of the Lord." So Zechariah believes that his son, John, is that prophet who is to come right before the Messiah. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, "Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." The John the Baptist is God's messenger who will clear the way of the Lord. We will see this in more detail in chapter 3. And verse 77, still talking about John the Baptist, he comes to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Salvation by the forgiveness of sins. This is the true salvation of God. God's salvation is not an economical salvation, not a political salvation, not a physical salvation. So all this thing talk about how I'm going to be rich because I'm saved, or I'm going to be healthy because I'm saved, or terms of political oppression, I will be free from that kind of thing because I'm saved. That's not biblical salvation. Well, ultimately in heaven, it will be true. But even if you are saved, you could still be poor. Even if you are saved, you could still be sick. Even if you are saved, you could still be oppressed by these nations of this world. But the salvation that God brings is a salvation from sin. This is the new covenant of God. Jeremiah 31 verse 33. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach you again. Each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus the John the Baptist message for the people is, repent. Now, we come to the end of his praise, Zechariah's praise. Verses 78 and 79, Zechariah speaks of the mission of the Messiah. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The salvation of God that the Messiah accomplishes is because of the tender mercy of our God. That's the first thing we need to remember. And God is pouring out His mercy upon His people. Our salvation is not of our own good works. And he says the sunrise from on high will visit us. This sunrise, it points to the Messiah. And some biblical scholars translate the same word as a blossoming shoot or blossoming sprout instead of the sunrise. Even then, it points to the Messiah. Isaiah 11 verse 1, speaking of the Messiah, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his root will bear fruit. Jesse, the father of David, the Messiah comes from the line of David. The Messiah comes to shine upon those who sit in darkness and shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He saves His people who have fallen in sin. He saves His people to enjoy peace with God. All will be accomplished by the Messiah who will be born in chapter 2. And this verse 79, we will look at in more detail next Lord's Day. We will focus on that verse. We come to the last verse, chapter 1, verse 80. And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit. He's talking about John the Baptist. And lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. See, it is not God's time yet. And the desert, the wilderness. And that time will come for the new Exodus will begin. Zacharias, who did not believe, to him faith is given so that he believes the New Testament gospel. Through Zacharias, God shows the proper response to the New Testament by the Old Testament. And you and I, we must do the same. Now let me end this. Jesus Christ is the Messiah who came to save us. who came to shine upon us who sat in darkness and the shadow of death, who came to guide our feet into the way of peace, so that we may serve God, worship God without fear. Only discouragements ensue if you see Jesus Christ with the understanding of this sinful world. What I want you to see is that all that Zacharias has praised about, Jesus Christ fulfills it, but He fulfilled it in you. So everything that Zacharias was singing about is about you. That's the point of this sermon. But I had to go through every verse before I could just conclude like that, simply. You are reading about your story, your life. And this is how you read the Bible. Because no matter how wonderful thing that Christ has done, if it is not for you, then it's not that wonderful when it comes to you. Unless what Bible tells us is about you, no matter how wonderful it sounds, it's not that wonderful to you. It's not good news to you. But there are so many people who read the Bible as if it is just concerning people who lived long ago in a faraway place. But they don't see it as how it is about the reader, if he is a Christian, if she is a Christian. He came to save you. You. He came to shine upon you, and you were sitting in the darkness and shadow of death. He came to guide you, your feet, into the way of peace, so that you may serve God, worship God without fear. Luke chapter 24, verse 21 tells us of people who did not understand the gospel. They say, "But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, this is the third day since those things happened." They were hoping Jesus is the person, the Messiah. But He died on the cross, and they were saying, we were hoping that He was the guy, He was the person, but He died, and it's been 3 days already. But that person is standing right next to them, resurrected from the dead. But they did not understand. To them, Jesus says in Luke 24, verse 25, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." But brothers and sisters, you and I, we believe. And we must believe more and more. And we must praise our God and serve Him, worship Him. Why? Because this is our present spiritual reality. Our present salvation reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We see in Luke how our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished our salvation. It is our story. And through faith, we must witness that the reality that the book shows, His word shows, as we live our lives. If all these things happen to you, and you're going to read different events, we only finished chapter 1, and there's 23 chapters to go. And if you read so many events in these chapters, and you will realize all those things happen to you. And if it happened to you, how did it change you? Because you cannot remain the same when God changes you. Oh yeah, it will take long time. Oh, whole lifetime, yes. But you will never remain the same. Change might be slow, but you will change. Because God never fails. Never. So please, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't go out as if God, don't go out, live your life as if God failed you. That somehow God did all these things to you and for you, but you still remain the same. Don't go out and show that. How tragic that will be if that's what your life is all about. Just showing that God failed. But He doesn't fail. You show the true reality that God has accomplished for you. Show how much you have changed. Because you are the new creation. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You for what You have done and what You have accomplished in our lives. Let us show. As we live our lives out there, let us show what You have done, what You have accomplished for us, how we are no longer the old man, but we are the new man, the new creation. They were created, recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us live by faith and show who we truly are in Christ. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.